The number one job of any parent is to look out for their kids.
Sometimes mom doesn't let me use my tablet.
Well, that is part of looking out for you. Your parents want to make sure you're safe while you're having fun.
I guess.
That's what we want too. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it.
What's it got?
Lingo Kids has lots of fun stuff that parents can feel good about, like songs and shows, plus activities featuring beloved Disney characters from Disney's Moana, Frozen, and more.
I love Disney stories.
Who doesn't? Lingo Kids has over 1 million daily users, so it looks like a lot of people love it already. Plus, when your parents download the Lingo Kids app, they can get a one-week free trial.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love. Download the app for free.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for. With SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour on this Thursday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun couple hours to start the show. Max Hurst joined us in the first hour talking all things Preds. Again, Preds season finale tonight at Bridgestone Arena, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Anaheim Ducks. And also, Mike Borgonzi speaking this morning to the media in his pre-draft press conference, 1 week away from the NFL draft in Pittsburgh, and we are reacting to everything that Mike Borgonzi had to say. We talked a lot about the top of the draft. I thought the most interesting comment that he had was on left tackle. The question was asked about, hey, Dan Moore, you have him locked in. You've invested a lot in Dan Moore, but would you consider taking a left tackle early? And here was what he said. Borgonzi said, big guys are hard to find. That's why they get taken so high. When you have a chance to acquire players like that, you have to do it. Having a young tackle in here to develop, you have to think about it. That's the first time I think we've heard from Mike Borgonzi specifically on the tackle position, because right now it's not a need. Dan Moore, not a great player, but he is a serviceable starter at left tackle. Not a long-term solution, but that spot is filled for 2026. J.C. Latham, you hope, is your right tackle of the next decade. Hasn't proven it yet, but this is a big year for J.C. Latham. Your tackle spots are settled for 2026. The way he talked about it, Parker, I don't know if you got this feeling too, but I think tackle may be more on the table on day two than maybe we've initially thought.
Yeah, it is tough because the way you feel about the offensive line, I personally do not feel good about the offensive line. You're hoping J.C. Latham is going to be able to be that franchise right tackle for you. You don't know. We don't know yet. Dan Moore, you don't feel great about the option at left tackle, so it does make sense where he's coming from. If you were to draft a tackle, bring him in and allow him to compete, where my mind went when he was talking about the offensive line in general and how you can find, you know, starters late day two, you know, day three, my mind went to center, you know, getting a guy like Jake Slaughter, or maybe even if you want to go later on day three, bringing in a guy like Pat Coogan, who played with Jeremiah Love at Notre Dame, if he ends up being the pick. So I think both of those guys could absolutely start for you at center at some point, probably not right away, but definitely at some point. That's kind of where my mind went, but it does make sense for them to bring in a tackle to compete with J.C. Latham, to compete with Dan Moore, because competition should, if you're a professional, ultimately bring the best out of you.
Yeah, and you're going to have to fill that spot at some point, probably next year. Dan Moore, the way his contract worked, I believe once his salary became guaranteed, it wasn't a clean out after next year anymore, but you can still get out with minimal dead cap after next season. And I think they will. Dan Moore was fine last year. He wasn't the worst tackle in the league, but he also wasn't exactly a stalwart on the left side of the line. you're going to need to find a long-term solution there, and the only way to find a franchise left tackle is early in the draft. You're not going to find you are almost never going to find a franchise left tackle on day three. It's happened, but for the most part, it's got to come early on. And if you're sitting there at 35 and there's a tackle that you didn't think was going to get to you in the first round, it wouldn't be my favorite pick because I've said it the entire offseason. You have neglected edge and wide receiver at the top of the draft for so long. But if you've got a chance to find a guy you believe can be your franchise left tackle, and even if you feel like he's more of a project and he needs a year behind Dan Moore, I would understand the Titans saying, offensive line with our young quarterback is going to be so crucial. We can check this need off for the next 5 years and move on. And then next year we'll have more flexibility with what we can do. I wouldn't hate it. But it does seem, based on the way he talked, that it's more of a possibility than maybe we initially thought. I will say I am going to be horrible pronouncing the name of the Arizona State left tackle. Ihia Nachor. Max over at Arizona State, the left tackle, I've seen that he is sneaking towards the first round, maybe not a consensus first round pick yet. That would be the guy I think you might want to keep your eye on at 35 if the Titans do go left tackle. I saw Dane Brugler had him mocked to the Titans at 35 in his 7-round mock draft yesterday. That's the name that I think you would keep an eye on for the Titans at 35 if he's sitting on the board.
If he does sneak into the first round, though, Jennings Dunker of Iowa, won the Joe Moore Award for having the best offensive line in college football last year. So that's certainly an option. And I will give a sleeper because I think this is a guy that you can get on day three that, you know, is probably not going to start to begin his NFL career, but Isaiah World at Oregon. He was a transfer from Rhode Island, had 1 year of experience playing at the Power 4 level. He was a projected first-round pick before the season, and now he's slipped to day three. So I could see a little bit of value there.
I think that's possible, too, that they maybe just go left tackle or tackle in general late on day three. It's not a great name that people are going to love, but a Jalen Duncan type pick of, hey, this guy's got a lot of tools.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can bring it. Like, it's just because that's the guy I think of when I think of lottery ticket tackles you take on day three. Obviously, Jalen Duncan did not turn out to be very good, but he's one of those guys who has a lot of tools, didn't produce very well at the college level, but maybe with the right offensive line coach, you can get more out of him. I know that's not...
I'm sorry, I said Rhode Island. He transferred from Nevada
gotcha.
To Oregon.
Gotcha. So offensive line is going to be a spot the Titans will address in this draft. I think certainly on the interior, but the way Mike Borgonzi talked about tackle makes me think that they may target a tackle of the future on day two at some point. You mentioned center and right guard. I agree with you that his answer on that made me think that they're not going to address that at 35, right? Like Besantis and Pregnon, those are the two guys who are borderline first-round picks on the interior of the offensive line. And again, it could all be a smokescreen, right? Like, it's lying season. Mike Borgonzi is probably trying to make himself as much of an enigma as possible. But the way he talked about it, he said there's good depth at interior offensive line, day one, two, and three. You can find guys in the middle rounds. And I like the comment he made of guys at the interior of the offensive line sometimes slip just because they don't test well. But at center and right guard, you're looking more for the intangibles of smart guys, centers who can set up protections, guards who are going to be road graders in the run game. Like, I agree with him that there may be guys who fall through the cracks who are really good players that just didn't test well that maybe you could get at 101. And you've got those two picks at the top of the fifth round, 142 and 144. I would think at least one of those picks is going to go onto the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, I am interested to see when that pick comes because, you know, If they go Love, if they go Bailey, if they go Reese, whatever, wherever, Sonny Styles in the first round, then you go maybe edge rusher or receiver in the second round. I think it's going to be edge rusher and receiver. That's just my gut feel in whatever order you want, the second and third round. So I would think that this offensive line pick would have to come on day three.
Yeah, and Mike Borgonzi did make note of you can't draft for need, right? You can't reach down the board for somebody who's not as much of a value just because you feel like you need that in 2026. I like the way he framed it of just because it's a need this year doesn't mean that it's going to be a need next year. You have different ways that you can acquire players. So I agree with you, especially if you go Love or Styles at four. I think edge and wide receiver are the positions I would highlight and circle on day two, with offensive line probably as number three. But I also think that you have to look at it as if there's somebody that they value that, let's say at 66, they were choosing between player A and player B at 35 and valued both of them pretty close to the same and took player A, and somehow player B falls down the board to 66, even if he's not at one of those positions that you need right now, I'm okay with taking the guy that they believe is going to be the best player. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We've got another pair of Team Boxing League tickets to give away. Be caller number three at 615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to Team Boxing League as Nashville Smash faces Phoenix Fury at Municipal Auditorium tomorrow night. Again, caller number three, 615-737-1025, wins two tickets to Team Boxing League tomorrow night. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Got a couple more segments left on this Thursday. Again, if you're missing Teron Davenport today, no worries. We are going to have a TD Friday tomorrow. Full show with TD talking draft as we enter draft week. 1 week from today, the NFL draft begins in Pittsburgh. We are reacting to Mike Borgonzi's pre-draft press conference. I have a couple of thoughts I want to get to, but let's start by going to our phone lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Dustin in Hopkinsville is called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good morning, guys. So I really enjoy having Borgonzi. I think he's so much better than John Robinson ever thought about being. And John Robinson, to me, was a very good GM. But I got to give Amy credit. This dude, he is just a businessman in the sports realm like none other. And I'm going to tell you what he's going to do. It's one of two things, and you're going to say, duh. All right? He's not drafting defense. He's either going Love or he's trading back and he's getting more pieces. Last year what he did, he took a mess, all right, and he got really good players. There's some that haven't even really played for us yet, the running back that he drafted.
Mullins.
And, yeah. All but one, the guy they put at edge, you know, he's still a question mark. This man knows our defense right now. You don't go draft corners at four and safeties and things like that. It's either Love or he's trading back and getting two picks. And what he's focused on for the success of this team, and it's not going to be, you know, Super Bowl bound next year. If you're thinking that, anybody, you're silly. All right? What he's going to do is he's going to do the best thing to preserve his job, which is giving Cam Ward as many weapons on offense to answer all the question marks as soon as possible. It's Love or trade back and get a Mekhi Lemon or something like that. I just know in my heart that's what it is.
And I'd be happy with both of those outcomes for the Titans. I will say, Dustin, let's wait for Mike Borgonzi to have some skins on the walls before you say he's better than John Robinson. I know the John Robinson era didn't end well here. Bad drafts, the A.J. Brown trade. But John Robinson was a winning GM for a majority of his time here. Mike Borgonzi, like, I really like what Borgonzi's done. I love listening to him. I think he comes off as a very smart and put together general manager, which is awesome. But let's just take a beat before we say he's better than John Robinson quite yet. Maybe, but not yet. Let's go back to the phone lines. Brandon is called in. Brandon, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing great.
All right, man. But yeah, I agree with you, man. Let's wait a minute.
to say that he's better than John Robinson, even though it didn't end well with J-Rob. But, well, we know he's better than Rand Carthon. Anybody better than Rand Carthon, let's just be real about that. But, hey, anyway, I called because, look, I've been seeing a lot of mock drafts out there. And, look, I've been bounced around early in the draft portion. And look, I feel like the best route we can do at number four is take Jeremiah Love. Now, that guy is an impact player instantly as soon as he touches the football field. We need somebody like that that's going to spark this offense because let's be real. Last year, Cam Ward was the only – I mean, Iron Manor and Tim Ray DK, they did a couple things, you know, Gunnerham, okay. But Cam Ward was the only guy we had on the field last year on offense that produced and tried to do what he could. Jeff Simmons is the man on defense. Now, we bounced up the defense during free agency. John Frankenmyers, Jermaine Johnson, got the two corners. That's cool. But we need a spark on offense. Jeremiah Love is the guy that's going to give us that spark that we need. You know, look at the history of the Titans. We always been a solid to damn near great offense, great team when we had a running back. That go from Eddie George, you know, Earl Campbell waited for my time. So I'm going to say Eddie George, Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry, and now Jeremiah Love. If we get Jeremiah Love, I think Morgans is going to do it. I don't care about the position of value. All I care about, who is the best player on the board that can help my team right now? That's Jeremiah Love. I'm a big Jeremiah Love fan. I like Arvell Reese. I like David Bailey. You know, Sonny Style. I like Sonny Style. You know, you kind of give me that Fred Warner type of comp. But I am 100% sold on Jeremiah Love. And if they go a different route, I support it because I'm a Titan fan to the heart. Like, I'm going to support this team no matter what they do. But I'm telling you, if we get Jeremiah Love, I guarantee you this team wins at least 9 games. I don't care what nobody say, at least 9 games. Now, we got to fix the offensive line. I'm more worried about the offensive line. I think we need to target somebody in second round. You know, me personally, I feel more comfortable. We go get Chase Versandes or Emmanuel Pregnon or Kalen Rutledge, somebody in the second round. Let's go ahead and take care of the offensive line. But Jeremiah Love, we get Jeremiah Love. I'm stamping it right now, at least 9 wins. I'm going to hang up and I'm listening to y'all. Thanks for taking my call. Tighten up.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Brandon. It's a bold prediction, 9 wins. You know,
I'll one-up you. 10 wins. No, I'm just kidding.
Tripling your wins in 1 year because of a running back.
We do share the same sentiment when it comes to getting players that can help you right now. And that's Jeremiah Love.
You need offensive playmakers badly. And the only offensive playmaker who is worthy of picking at number four is Jeremiah Love. I think we can all agree on that. And I think Jeremiah Love is the most likely pick at number four.
I think Sonny Styles is too. Like, I would, you know, I think Caleb Downs and I would put Arvell Reese in there. I think those are, in whatever order, the top four best players in the draft. But I'm thinking solely about, okay, here's what we have on the defense. Here's what's on the offense. You need more on the offensive side of the ball. What helps Cam Ward the most? That's where my mindset has been for the last 2 months.
I think that it is the most likely outcome that Jeremiah it goes Bailey, Reese, Love. You never know with the draft, but I think that's the way like Vegas has it right now. I think that's the kind of the consensus is it's going to go Bailey at 2, Reese 3, Love 4 to the Titans. I will say, though, Connor Hughes, who he covers the Jets and Giants up there in New York, he put out a mock draft this morning. And when talking about the Cardinals, he says, quote, "The Cardinals could opt for whichever pass rusher the Jets pass on at number 2, but don't be surprised if they select Jeremiah Love. There's a lot of smoke there." So I know that based on our callers and texters and Twitter, a lot of Titans fans are all in on Jeremiah Love. There's no guarantee he gets there. And it would give you options, right? Like it would probably at that point you'd be taking one of the Ohio State linebackers, either Reese or Styles. But I want to just put that out there that Connor Hughes is reporting that up there in New York. I don't know his sources with the Cardinals or anything like that, but I think there might be a heartbreak across Nashville if Jeremiah Love goes 3 to Arizona.
There would be. But Borgonzi isn't wrong. I mean, it's not like I'm going to be upset and mad at whatever player is drafted at four if it doesn't end up being Jeremiah Love because he gets picked before you. You know, if it's Arvell Reese, I will be happy because I trust Saleh can develop him. If it's Sonny Styles, I believe Sonny Styles is a top five player in this draft. Or if there's a trade back option, I'd be happy. But my heart is set on Jeremiah Love.
Justin from Greenbrier asked an interesting question too. He says, I know this scenario is not likely, but what if a team moves up in your spot at four? Who would the Titans circle if they move back to 12? So we talked about the possibility of a trade back with the Cowboys yesterday, 12 and 20. Here's a name that we didn't bring up yesterday that last night I was just kind of scrolling through mock drafts and trying to think of scenarios for the Titans. A name we didn't bring up that unlikely, very unlikely, but I don't think would be off the table if the Titans traded back. Monroe Freeling, the left tackle from Georgia. I don't think it's going to happen. First off, I think a trade back is unlikely. And if they trade back, I don't think it would be him. But I don't think it would be out of the question because I think he is the best pure left tackle in this draft class. Like, Maui Noah and Fano and Vega Ioane, they might be better offensive linemen than Freeling, but I think Freeling is the best pure left tackle. You plug him in there on your blind side, and you're good.
Because Maui Goa and Fano are both
going to play right on the right side. So that, again, unlikely, but it was a name I thought of, and I was like, man, we haven't talked about it. He's not going to be in play at four, obviously, but if the Titans traded back, I don't think he would be off the table. 615-737-1025. We've got a lot of reaction on the text line. We will get to those coming up next. If you have any thoughts on the Titans draft, as we are a week out, we will get to your reaction. We got two more segments left in the show. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you for a couple more segments on this Thursday. Again, had to move things around with the press conference this morning. TD couldn't make it in today, but luckily we got TD for the full show tomorrow. Excited for that as we get ready for the NFL draft, which is just a week away in Pittsburgh. Titans at number four. It's a big story, of course, locally, but also nationally. And I've seen a lot of different analysts, experts talking about Jeremiah Love to the Titans at number four. And on the text line, it seems like everybody is on board with taking Love at four. Dustin from Hopkinsville, who just called in, texted, if he takes a player at four and it's not Love, the best generational talent in the draft, I will burn my Titans jerseys. I'll be going to another team. He can trade back, but he can't pick anyone but Love at four. 5492 says, Saleh will improve the defense while he's here, but the Titans scored 16.7 points per game. We need offensive help and someone to make Cam better. Love will make Cam better, and we will score more points. Ron says, who else in the draft can put butts in seats at Nissan Stadium? No one but Love, and Amy knows that too.
That's true, but that's not why you take a player.
It's not why you take him. So, I mean, it might be a vocal minority, but based on what I've seen, I think Love is who everybody wants in this draft in Nashville. And I get it. That is, I'm thinking, and you throw logic out the window, positional value, all that, and just say, who would be the most fun to watch on this team? The answer is 100% Jeremiah Love. Pairing Jeremiah Love and Cam Ward together, yes, it puts butts in seats. It sells jerseys, and it gets people excited about this team again. There are a lot of reasons to draft Jeremiah Love, and I think I would lean towards Jeremiah Love if anybody but David Bailey is on the board with him. I would take Bailey over Love. Reese would be a tough one for me, but outside of that, it's Love. I'd take Love over Styles, over Bain, over Tate, over Downs. I think Jeremiah Love would be a good pick at number four in this year's draft. But it's not guaranteed, and we're just going to have to see the way the board falls. And I mentioned the note there from Connor Hughes of SNY, who covers the Giants and the Jets. He said, there's a lot of smoke around the Cardinals liking Jeremiah Love at number three. I will say one thing, though, Parker, and this might have nothing to do with anything, but do you know who is announcing the day two picks for the Cardinals this year in Pittsburgh?
Who would that be?
James Conner.
Ah.
So how hilarious would it be if they draft Jeremiah Love on day one and then run the guy he just replaced out onto the stage to announce their next couple of picks on Friday? I don't think the Cardinals are going to take Love. That could be a smokescreen coming from somebody who wants, or honestly, it could be from the Cardinals themselves trying to see if the Titans want to come up and get Jeremiah Love, or if another team wants to jump both teams to go get Jeremiah Love. It's lying season. 3337 says, is it smart to pick a running back at four when you don't even know who the center is? The offensive line is something that needs to be addressed, and we spent a good amount of time on the offensive line in the last hour talking about Mike Borgonzi's comments on an eventual replacement for Dan Moore at left tackle. Maybe that comes this year in the draft. What they want to do on the interior of the offensive line, they have to figure out the offensive line, 100%. But I don't think that you can just not take the guy you believe is the best player because you don't feel 100% set at center and right guard. Like, we had the same conversation around Cam Ward last year. People were saying, don't take Cam Ward. You need to set up the team around him before you take Cam Ward. If you think a guy is generational and you think a guy can be your franchise quarterback, you take him. And then you figure it out, because you're not going to have the number one pick every year. Titans were just as bad this past year, maybe even worse than they were 2 years ago. They're not in position to take a quarterback this year. You just never know. And that's why I think you've got to pick the best player, the guy you think is going to be best for your team, regardless of what's going on around him. You got to figure those things out. You can't just ignore the offensive line. But if you think Jeremiah Love is the best player in the draft and is going to make the biggest impact on your team, you take him, and then you try and put the pieces around him to give him the best chance to have success.
Yeah, you can't ignore the offensive line, because there is the aspect of you know, you don't want Jeremiah Love to have an Ashton Jeanty season from last season where, you know, you may believe Ashton Jeanty is a generational running back as well, but he didn't have an offensive line to protect him, so that's why the Raiders, they went out and they got Tyler Linderbaum. That's also for Fernando Mendoza as well, but the sentiment is all the same. You go out and you get an offensive line so that those running backs have people to run behind. So we can't sit here and act like the Titans' offensive line is not an issue right now, because it is, and you have a lot of questions going into this thing. So I absolutely do believe it needs to be addressed in the draft, and I'm honestly shocked it wasn't addressed earlier in free agency.
I agree. I am a little shocked after cutting Lloyd Cushenberry and at this point letting Kevin Zeitler walk. He's still out there. They could bring him back if they need to after the draft. But I am a little shocked that they did not invest more in that group so far this offseason. The offensive line objectively is worse than it was last year. How are they going to fix that? Does that come in the draft? But I don't think that should stop you from drafting a playmaker like Jeremiah Love. You got to fix the offensive line, but that doesn't mean you just pass on a guy because you're like, oh, well, we're going to suck even if we had him anyway. Let's just pick somebody else. I think you still take Love. Let's see. We got lots of, like, hypotheticals coming in on the text line. Richie from White House says, let's say the Titans decided to trade back to 12 with the Cowboys. By trading back, they lose out on drafting Love, Reese, Bailey, or even Styles, and they ultimately end up drafting Reuben Bain. I can only imagine how many fans will be calling in the next day and giving hell about them drafting Bain. See, I've held the position from the very beginning. Bain at 12 makes me feel better, especially if you get 22. Like, if you get 12 and 20 and you end up with Reuben Bain at 12, yes, he's still an outlier. Yes, he's still a unicorn, but you're not investing top five draft capital in him. I'd feel better about it. So, yes, I do think, though, if the Titans trade down and Jeremiah Love is on the board, well, there are going to be a lot of unhappy callers next Friday morning. Let's finish this segment with this one. And I'm going to reserve the right to change my prediction until next Thursday. We will have us and TD make a call leading up to draft night next Thursday. But 8395 says, call your shot. What do you think and predict the Titans will do at number four? 1 week out, if I had to guess right now at number four, I think the Titans select Jeremiah Love. That based on all of the tea leaves that we've seen, based on what Mike Borgonzi has said, based on what we've heard from around the league, I think Jeremiah Love is the pick at number four.
I do as well. I've been saying this for a while, yeah. So there's really no surprise.
No, I mean, I think, again, I will reserve the right to change my prediction until next Thursday. We will make our final prediction next Thursday, but I think it's going to be Jeremiah Love as it stands right now. And I don't think that's a shocker, right? Like, that's what the odds say it's going to be.
Breaking news.
That's what most mock drafts say it's going to be. Who am I to disagree with them? I think Love makes sense for this team. In this draft, without a ton of blue-chip premium position talent, I think it makes sense. But it's the NFL draft. It is one of the hardest sporting events to predict, right? Like, it's not about performance. It's about what people think and opinions on players. So it's like, you have film to go watch of like a game and say, all right, well, I've watched the Titans play and I've watched the Seahawks play. I think the Seahawks are going to win. This is all what these specific front offices value the most. So it's unpredictable. But again, if I had to guess 1 week out, I think it's going to be Jeremiah Love. 615-737-1025. We've got one more segment left on this Thursday morning. We will get more of your reaction, and we'll wrap up the show coming up next. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, wrapping up the show on this Thursday morning. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Again, tomorrow on the show, we had to push TD Thursday today because of the Mike Borgonzi pre-draft presser. So, Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, will be with us for all 3 hours tomorrow starting at 9 a.m. So excited for that. Parker, we are, next time we talk on the air, 9 a.m. tomorrow, we will be within a week of the NFL draft. It is finally almost here.
You say that, and all that comes to my mind is we're one day closer to rewatching draft day.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Next Wednesday, it's coming up quick. I mean, I heard Robbie and Ian talk about this at the end of Robbie and Rex Road this morning, and it's just like, because of how fast the Titans season went south, we have been talking draft adjacent since like October. I mean, it's been 6 months.
Up all over the place.
And it's like, I love the draft. The draft is one of my favorite events of the year, but I do miss talking about actual football, because once we got past the Colts game, basically, it was like, all right, well, you're 0-3 at that point. The season is not looking like you're going to do much, and you're probably going to fire the coach soon. So I am really, really excited to get to draft night and actually have the players on the roster. And we are just over a week away from doing that. A week from tonight, the NFL draft begins. And Mike Borgonzi, he spoke earlier today. We talked about some of the big takeaways from his presser. Here were a couple other things that I highlighted. He mentioned that I thought this was a really good question on drafting a player the coach doesn't like. Because we heard a lot last year about Shedeur Sanders and the Browns and that Kevin Stefanski wasn't on board. And I don't think Stefanski handled it the right way. But that's why you don't draft players that the coaches aren't on board with. Because as Mike Borgonzi said, that is how you develop friction within the organization. And that never is going to be good. You want alignment from the front office to the coaching staff. And I thought Borgonzi put it in a good way of like, you have these discussions and you go back and forth pre-draft so that you're not battling in the war room on draft day and having Robert Saleh and one of the scouts going at it about an edge rusher that they want to take.
Which, by the way, I would not want to go at it with Robert
That's
Saleh.
That's true. I would avoid battling with Robert Saleh. But I thought he said it in a very nuanced way of like, yeah, there's going to be disagreements between the coaching staff and the front office, but you have those conversations, you go through all of the scenarios, and that way on draft night, you're aligned and your board is set. A couple other comments. He mentioned Jordan Tyson's medicals, said that they didn't have any issues with it. I believe it wasn't concerning to us, but every team might see it differently. I don't think Jordan Tyson is in play for the Titans, maybe in a trade back, but That would be surprising, I would say, if Jordan Tyson ends up being a Titan. There's been no smoke around it. Obviously, the medicals have been an issue. He's a good player. I would be really surprised if Jordan Tyson ended up being a Titan. And there was one more that I wanted to get to. I wrote down so many different things from what he had to say. I liked the thought on the transfer portal, where he was talking about the older players and how, yes, you bring in older players who might be more pro-ready. I think the question was kind of framed around Akeem Mesidor with Miami, who he's an older player, and you might say, yeah, of course the 24-year-old is beating up on the 20-year-olds he's playing. So he might be closer to his ceiling, but also he might be more pro-ready. And he mentioned the transfer portal, that might have an impact on these players lacking consistency because they're not having the same coach working with them for 3 or 4 years. They're moving around from school to school, and sometimes you have to take them back to the basics because of that. I thought that was a very different thought process that I hadn't really thought of before when it comes to the transfer portal, of not having that consistent coaching could end up having an impact on what the coaches are able to do with these players when they get to the NFL.
Yeah, it's one of my gripes with, you know, the way the college game is set up right now, because these players, well, even in the NFL, they're not really developed anymore in college, just because they're hopping around from you know, college to college in this era of the NIL and transfer portal, which is really unfortunate because you're far from a finished product once you graduate high school. But because you're experiencing all these different coaching staffs and you're going to these different schools, you're not getting properly developed, so that when you get to the NFL, it used to be once you got to the NFL, those coaches trusted that the coaches in college had right. already developed you, so you were a finished product, and all they had to do was basically install whatever system it was they ran so you could hit the ground running. Now, it's exactly what you said. You have to start over from ground zero and work your way up.
And you still see some of that, right, with the Ohio State wide receivers, right? Like, you trusted the Ohio State coaches were going to have those guys pro-ready. Now Brian Hartline is gone. But, you know, that was something that you looked at and you said, Ohio State wide receivers, they're coming in, they're talented, and they're pro-ready. A couple other things that Mike Borgonzi mentioned. He did talk about Sonny Styles, and Fred Warner is the comp for Sonny Styles. Like, that's what everybody talks about. And I get it based on what he does on the field, but Borgonzi did mention, like, there is no comp for Sonny Styles. We had the opposite conversation against about Reuben Bain Parker with Corey Curtis, where Corey told me my comps stink. And I was like, there are no comps. He has first percentile arms. It's the opposite for Sonny Styles, of he has 99th percentile everything. Like, it's tough to make a comp on Sonny Styles because no one has done what he's done before. So I really do think it comes down to those four players at number four. You're going to have an option of at least two of them: Bailey, Reese, Love, and Styles. I would be shocked if it's anybody outside of that group at this point. The only other guys that I could imagine, like, maybe Carnell Tate, maybe Caleb Downs. Like, but outside of that, I think it's those four: Love, Styles, Reese, Bailey. And I would probably put it in that order of the likelihood right now, because I don't think David Bailey's getting out of the top three. So, yes, if Bailey's there, he probably is the pick, but I think he's going at worst three. Reese, I think, is going three, but a little more likely to get to four than Bailey. Styles, I think he'll be there. I don't think he's the pick. I think Love is the most likely selection for the Titans. That's how I have it a week out. I think it's Love, Styles, Reese, Bailey.
I don't disagree. I think Bailey's going to the Jets. I think Reese is going to the Cardinals. And I think it's Love to the Titans.
But it's the draft, so we'll...
We could get something crazy. We could get a trade into the top two to get Travis Hunter.
Right, and I think the wild card in all of this, and I do want to spend time on this, not tomorrow, but next week as we lead up to the draft, Ty Simpson. Like, I do think... We are hearing almost nothing about Ty Simpson.
Oh, I watched the episode with Gruden's QB class yesterday with Ty Simpson. Really good.
I think it was James Palmer just tweeted, what's the difference between how much fans and media are talking about Ty Simpson and how much teams are talking about Ty Simpson? I also saw a tweet that said the team that has been most closely connected with Ty Simpson is the Arizona Cardinals. Ty Simpson is attending the draft, which you usually don't do unless you're pretty sure you're a first-round pick. Obviously, there's the Will Levis situation, DK Metcalf a few years before that, who hung out in the green room all day. But I think Ty Simpson could be a wild card in all this. That'll be a topic for next week as we lead up to the draft. But that'll about wrap things up for us. Really fun show. Big thanks to Max Herz for joining us in the first hour. And again, Preds season finale coming up tonight, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Ducks. Go out and support the Preds, even though they're eliminated from the playoffs. Still should be a fun night. It's fan appreciation night over at Bridgestone for the final game of the season. Tomorrow, Teron Davenport with us for the full show. I think tomorrow is going to be one of the more fun shows of the draft season with TD, because we are actually close enough that we can start diving in deep on these things. We've talked with TD for the last few months about the draft, but it's starting to get real. We will be 6 days out the next time we speak. We will have TD for all 3 hours tomorrow. But that wraps things up for us. Don't go anywhere. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
The number one job of any parent is to look out for their kids.
Sometimes mom doesn't let me use my tablet.
Well, that is part of looking out for you. Your parents want to make sure you're safe while you're having fun.
I guess.
That's what we want too. We're Lingo Kids, and we're here to help parents out. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids because kids love it and parents can trust it.
What's it got?
Lingo Kids has lots of fun stuff that parents can feel good about, like songs and shows, plus activities featuring beloved Disney characters from Disney's Moana, Frozen, and more.
I love Disney stories.
Who doesn't? Lingo Kids has over 1 million daily users, so it looks like a lot of people love it already. Plus, when your parents download the Lingo Kids app, they can get a 1 week free trial.
Lingo Kids!
Everything kids love. Download the app for free.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.